Lord, lift me up, and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your place then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Today on It's a Good Life, we want to continue our study in the book of Ecclesiastes. We're in chapter 4, and we're looking at verses 7 and 8. But I believe this section of Ecclesiastes could be divided like this, verses 7 through 12, the vanity of isolation. And then in verses 7 through 8, we see the vanity of being alone. Those verses say this, "Then I returned, and I saw vanity under the sun. There is one alone, and there is not a second, yea, he hath neither child nor brother, yet is there no end of all his labor, neither is his eye satisfied with riches, neither saith he, for whom do I labor, and bereave my soul of good? This is also vanity, yea, it is a sore travail." Well, I believe what Solomon is saying here in verse 7 is there's more vanity under the sun, in other words, on the earth. He's seeing more and more and more. And some people are all alone, according to verse 8 in the first part of that verse. And there are people who have no companion, children, or siblings. However, I believe this verse is also teaching verse 8. However, these people never stop working. Do you know what that's called? That's called greed. Now, it's not wrong to work, and it's not wrong to work hard, but there needs to be a reason for that work. There is no end to these people's labors, and they have no satisfaction with riches. And I think that's the point. They're never satisfied. These people are never satisfied. They don't even know why they're working. All their hard work and travail means nothing. According to this, the last part of that verse in verse 8 says, "This is also vanity. Yea, it is a sore travail." Now, verses 9 through 12, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, we see the value of friends. This is important. Verses 9 through 12, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken." Well, verse 9, I believe, is saying this, two working together can accomplish more than one who works alone. And if you've been in this life very long, you know that is the truth. It's easier to do something if you've got help. In verse 10, it says, in essence, if they both fall, they can help each other up. They can help each other when there is a problem. And verse 10 also tells us that there's no one to help in time of need if we're alone. And this is grief. We are grieved if we're left alone and we need something and we need help and there's no one to help us. Then we also see in verse 11 that two together can stay warm. One who is alone has no one to keep him warm. There is no way that person is going to, especially, you know, we read about people who are trapped sometimes in the mountains and it's snowing and their body temperature falls and they perish and they die because there is no one there to help them stay warm. They can't stay warm. And of course, we know that in certain situations that both people die because it's so cold. But I've also read and heard and seen evidence that if there's another person there, that these two people can help each other stay warm. And that's what Solomon is talking about here. Well, it also goes on to tell us in verse 12 that A strong person who overcomes a weaker person can be subdued by two people. There's power in numbers. There's strength in numbers. We need to learn that. And if you haven't learned it, you need to learn it, because we need to work together. There's a biblical principle seen here in verse 12 in 2 Samuel chapter 10, verses 9 through 11. It says, when Joab saw that the front of the battle was against him before and behind, he chose of all the choice men of Israel and put them in array against the Syrians. And the rest of the people he delivered into the hand of Abishai, his brother, that he might put them in array against the children of Ammon. Now listen to verse 11. And he said, if the Syrians be too strong for me, then thou shalt help me. But if the children of Ammon be too strong for thee, then I will come and help thee. Working together, helping each other. As two are better than one, so three or more united together is still better. And they are able to conquer an enemy. There needs to be fellowship, friendships, and working together in this life to accomplish more. And it's just not accomplishing more in this life for this life. It's accomplishing more for the Lord, to serve Him, to get things done so that more people will know Jesus Christ as Savior, and so that other Christians can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's the reason it's so important for an older Christian who is versed in the Scriptures to help a younger Christian, to help disciple that person, to help nurture and bring along that person as a newborn babe, helping them to get into the Word of God and feed upon the milk of the Word until they're able to take on, as the Bible puts it, the meat of the Word. In other words, they grow and keep growing until they're able to absorb and gain more and more knowledge of what God wants them to have. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 20, the Bible says, but now are they many members, yet but one body. And this is speaking of the body of Christ. It says, the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. It makes no difference how weak we think a brother in Christ is or a sister in Christ is. That person is necessary. In verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 12, it goes on to say this, and those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. We're to help each other. Whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. When someone is exalted and lifted up for good work, we need to rejoice with that person. Verse 27 says, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, all the way back in Genesis, God gives us a blueprint here. He gives us what is necessary in this life. And it says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. Of course, that's speaking of a wife, but it's also speaking of not being alone in the work that God has given us as children of God, and also as people who are living in this life, making a living, doing things in this life. We need helpers. We need to be a helpmeet. We need to help other people to do the job that God has given us to do while in this life. Well, we look on now in verses 13 through 16 of Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and we see the vanity of popularity. Do you ever want to be popular? Well, look at the vanity of it now. And we see, first of all, in verses 13 through 16, a narrative of two men. Verse 13 says, better is a poor and a wise child than an old foolish king who will no more be admonished. Now, I believe what Solomon is saying here, a poor wise child is happier than an old unwise king, because the king now refuses to accept criticism. In other words, I'm better than anybody else. I know everything. I don't, I just don't need anybody. That seems to be what's being said here. The older the king becomes, the dumber he gets. It appears the king once listened to constructive criticism, but now he will no more be admonished. You can't help him. In Ecclesiastes 4:14, it says, "For out of a prison he cometh to reign, whereas also he that is born in his kingdom becometh poor." And the poor, wise young man is elevated from prison. In other words, he's brought up from poverty to a throne, according to verse 14. And the rest of that verse, and it says, "Whereas also he that is born in his kingdom becometh poor." I believe it's saying here, he who is born to be king becomes the poorest. That person who comes up through the ranks, we might say, that person who is part of the people, that person can represent the people better than the person who is brought up with that silver spoon, shall we say, in their mouth. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that that person who is rich can't do a good job. I'm saying the Bible says here that many times this happens, that the person who has experienced what the normal person experiences can do a better job than that person who is rich as they take a throne. Now look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 15. Solomon says, "I considered all the living which walk under the sun with a second child that shall stand up in his stead." Well, out of all the living on earth, the wise young man, in verse 13, the second child, in verse 15, shall rule in the place of the one who was born to rule, according to verse 15. In Genesis 41 and 14, it says, "Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. And they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh." We know that Joseph was sold into slavery. He was the poorest of the poor at one time, but God exalted him because he was the one who was willing to serve God, and he was the one who God wanted to use because he didn't make of himself any more than what he was, but God used him mightily. And we know that the people of Israel survived because of Joseph. Later on in years, we read about that in the book of Genesis. Well, we continue on, and there's much more that could be said. In Psalm 113, verses 7 and 8, it says, "He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people." And we see that as we've already read about Joseph. Verse 16 talks about popularity, and it does not last long. Verse 16, "There is no end of all the people, even all that hath been before them. They also that come after shall not rejoice in him. Surely this also is vanity and vexation of spirit. The past, present, and future generations will find fault as to how the king ruled," according to verse 16. And the result of the king's rule, worthlessness and frustration. Everybody has an answer. Everybody has something to say. Nobody's satisfied. Are you satisfied? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior today? I pray that you'll do that right now. Lord, come into my heart. I receive you as my Savior.
You have just listened to Lesson 7 of Ecclesiastes. These lessons are taken directly from the Word of God, the Bible. I trust you haven't missed any lessons of our study of Ecclesiastes. God told Solomon to ask for what he wanted. Solomon asked God for wisdom, and God answered Solomon in 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 12. God said, "Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like." Let us ask God for wisdom and knowledge as we study the book, His book, the Bible. Join me next time as we study Lesson 8 of Ecclesiastes.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.